welcome to Medieval Murder, the podcast that brings all things gruesome and historical to the comfort of your own home or car or wherever it is you're listening from. My name is Hannah Prettyman, and I'm here with my father, Kevin Prettyman.
Hello.
To discuss some of the most famous and infamous murders that took place in the medieval and early modern periods. Medieval Murder came to be first as a blog, then as an Instagram, and now as a podcast after I finished my master's dissertation on homicide in early medieval England. The podcast will feature some of the most famous murders in medieval history, some mini-episode series on different types of medieval murders, and interviews with historians and history enthusiasts alike. Apologies for the long breaks between episodes. Many life changes are happening. I graduated from my master's in library science and will be getting married in October and moving across the country soon, so the podcast had to take kind of a back seat, but we are hoping to ramp up after the busy season. So, without further ado, today we will be discussing a medieval massacre that happened in Glastonbury in southwestern England. Unlike our normal format, where we dive straight into the story, today I'd like to start with a primary source material surrounding this massacre. The primary source we'll be using today is the Anglo-Saxon Chronicle, which was most likely written during the late 9th century. However, several versions of the chronicle exist, with additions being made up until 1154. The section of the chronicle we'll be examining today is for the year 1083, which read, "This year arose the tumult at Glastonbury betwixt the abbot Thurston and his monks. It proceeded first from the abbot's want of wisdom, that he misgoverned his monks in many things. But the monks meant well to him, and told him that he should govern them rightly, and love them, and they would be faithful and obedient to him. The abbot, however, would hear nothing of this, but evil entreated them and threatened them worse. One day, the abbot went into the chapter house and spoke against the monks, and attempted to mislead them, and sent after some laymen, and they came full armed into the chapter house upon the monks. Then were the monks very much afraid of them, and wist not that they were to do, but they shot forward, and some ran into the church, and locked the doors after them. But they followed them into the minster, and resolved to drag them out, so that they durst not go out. A rueful thing happened on that day. The Frenchmen broke into the choir and hurled their weapons toward the altar, where the monks were, and some of the knights went upon the upper floor and shot their arrows downward incessantly toward the sanctuary, so that on the crucifix that stood above the altar they sunk many arrows. And the wretched monks lay about the altar, and some crept under, and earnestly called upon God, imploring his mercy, since they could not obtain any at the hands of men. What can we say but that they continued to shoot their arrows, whilst the others broke down the doors and came in and slew some of the monks to death, and wounded many therein, so that the blood came from the altar upon the steps and from the steps on the floor. Three there were slain to death and 18 wounded, and in the same year departed Matilda, Queen of King William, on the day after Allhallow Mass. And in the same year also, after midwinter, the king ordained a large and heavy contribution over all England, that was, upon each height of land, 2.70. Now that was a lot. And it sounds like we're going to need some background information to figure out how all this actually started and why we ended up here with a whole lot of murdered and injured monks.
Yes, please. So the year's 1083.
Yes.
And then, so Glastonbury, was it just the abbey and the church, or was there a little town there too?
There's a little town there, but the massacre happened in the monastery.
Okay.
So, in order to kind of get the background information we need, we're going to go all the way back to the year 1066. 1066 was the year of the Battle of Hastings, which was fought between the Norman-French army of the Duke of Normandy, also known as William the Conqueror, and the English army under the Anglo-Saxon king, Harold Godwinson. The Battle of Hastings could take up an entire episode itself. If you want to hear the story from us, let us know, and we'll mark that down for a future episode. But we're basically going to give away the ending, and so we can get back to Glastonbury. So if you haven't heard anything about the Battle of Hastings in the last 1,000 years, skip ahead 20 seconds so that you don't get spoilers for something that happened 1,000 years ago. The Anglo-Saxon king Harold Godwinson died in battle, so William the Conqueror won.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Now, why does this matter to a monastery in Glastonbury? Since the Normans won, and after winning several other smaller battles on his way to London, William the Conqueror took control of England and was crowned king on December 25th, 1066. Once king, William was able to bring his own followers to England, including a Norman monk named Thurston. This monk became the abbot of Glastonbury Abbey. The monks of Glastonbury Abbey, as well as many of the people living in England at the time, were not happy about the Normans taking over. You know, everything has changed. This meant that tensions were high for everyone.
So the abbot that he installed, was he French?
Norman French, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's thought that Abbot Thurston, once he was, you know, put in charge of Glastonbury Abbey, began making changes to how the abbey normally ran.
One question on the abbot. Mm-hmm. Is the abbot a religious guy, or is he kind of a lay administrator of the monastery? Is he actually...
No, you can't be an abbot and not be religious. That's just not how the church worked.
Okay, I wasn't sure.
Yeah, no, he's definitely worked his way up to becoming an abbot, but there's not any other documentation about him, really.
So we don't really know where he came from.
Normandy.
You know, and it... Well, I mean, through the lineage of the church.
Yeah, I don't know.
And I was just, you know, I was kind of curious. I mean, he got sideways with the monks, and then this massacre takes place. So maybe I was like, well, maybe he's not a religious guy at all, but apparently he is.
Yeah, no, he is. So one of the changes that Abbot Thurston made included making the monks relinquish using the Gregorian chant and replacing it with something else. I'm not sure what. The monks, who were already upset about the Normans taking over in general, were now having their daily lives affected as well. So they tried to resist this change.
With the Normans taking over, I know it's an occupying force. Do you know how it changed, like, daily life for, like, the peasants and the people in the town that would make the monks upset?
Taxes probably changed if they tried to, you know, just laws may have changed, that kind of thing.
Okay.
And, you know, there was an invading force throughout the countryside, and so a lot of people probably died.
Right, and then I'm sure the monks, you know, heard it from the people, you know, the displeasure. Maybe.
Oh, yeah. No, tensions are high everywhere.
Okay.
Yeah. And so there's probably other changes happening within the monastery as well, but the only one that I've seen noted is that he wanted the Gregorian chant not to be used anymore.
Okay.
So initially, the monks probably began with refusing just within the confines of the abbey, as Thurston was attempting to implement change. So they probably objected to him. They probably, you know, murmured amongst themselves and weren't unhappy and tried to get him to understand. And possibly, you know, they probably elected somebody to talk to Thurston himself. But this didn't work, and things got worse. The monks began to escalate things and began protesting against the abbot more publicly, and probably were going to, you know, their congregation around them and, you know, saying bad things about the abbot.
Yeah, I'm sure at that time everyone's talking about the different changes in their life.
Yeah.
And because of the Normans. And if you're listening, if you're talking to people and they're like, this has changed for me, and you're a monk, and you're like, oh, you don't even know the half of it, man. You know, this is what's happening on the church side, which would have been really, really important then.
Yeah. So it's important to note that this situation took place over several years. So the Battle of Hastings took place in 1066. The new king was crowned in 1066 in December. Thurston was appointed to be abbot of Glastonbury Abbey in 1077. And right now we're up to 1083. So he probably took about 6 years trying to implement these changes, and they were not going down with the monks. And so, right. You know, it's 6 years later and things are really escalating, and the monks have probably hit their breaking point.
Okay.
And so the monks were protesting publicly. I'm not sure if they were basically just talking trash to the townspeople or what. But Thurston decides that there's nothing else he can do, and he's going to use force to subdue the monks. As abbot of Glastonbury, Thurston had political connections back in Normandy and now in England, so he used those connections to gather a small group of armed men. The Anglo-Saxon Chronicle refers to these men as knights, and he brings them to the abbey to force the monks into submission. I'm not sure if he intends for what happens or if things get out of control, but according to the Chronicle of Florence of Worcester in 1083, Thurston suddenly broke into the chapter house at the head of an armed band of men in arms, one day when they least expected it, and pursued the terrified monks, who took refuge in the church to the foot of the altar. The armed band pierced the crosses and the images and shrines of the saints with darts and arrows, and even speared to death one of the monks as he was clinging to the altar. Another was shot by arrows on the altar steps. The rest, driven by necessity, defended themselves bravely with the benches and candlesticks of the church, and although severely wounded, drove the soldiers out of the choir. Two of the monks were killed and 14 wounded, and some of the soldiers also received wounds.
So Thurston's kind of leading a band of men, and they're desecrating the church and killing holy men.
Yes, pretty much. So I don't know if at this point maybe the monks have locked him out of the abbey or, you know, and he thinks he needs to do this. But yeah, it's not good.
Right. Yeah, no, I mean, it just seems a little extreme. I mean, they're shooting. Not only are they killing monks, but they're desecrating the church.
Well, and who knows if maybe this was meant to just get them back inside the abbey, just show a force, and it got out of hand and people died. I don't know.
Right.
But there is a disparity in the events and the number of dead and wounded between what the Anglo-Saxon Chronicle reports and what the Chronicle of Florence of Worcester reports. So the truth is somewhere in the middle, probably. However, what is known is that the events at Glastonbury Abbey were caused by Abbot Thurston and led to the death of several monks. So at least two monks were killed, because that's, you know, in the Chronicle of Florence of Worcester, two monks are killed and 14 wounded. In the Anglo-Saxon Chronicle, three monks are killed and 18 wounded. So it just kind of depends.
Right. Now, do we know how big the abbey was, the total number of monks?
I do not know. I'm assuming it can't be huge.
Okay.
But no, I don't know what the average number of monks in a monastery are.
Yeah, no, I was just wondering because we're up to maybe 20 victims.
Yeah.
You know, is that like all the monks that were there, or did some?
You know, it could be all. It could be half. Unscathed. I think it's at least half. I'm thinking.
Okay.
Yeah. So, after the massacre, a trial was held in order to look into the events at Glastonbury Abbey. During this trial, Abbot Thurston was found to be at fault, or at least to have acted improperly. However, whoever was overseeing the trial must have been sympathetic to either Thurston or to the Norman cause, because Thurston was given a very light sentence of just being sent back to Normandy, where he lived until William the Conqueror died in 1086. So he leads this massacre in the abbey, and you know, he has political connections, and they're, you know, he's led to the death of at least two monks, and that, you know, there's probably, the townspeople are probably pissed. People, you know, right. The English people are probably pissed. And all he gets, he doesn't get fined, he doesn't get sent to prison, he just gets sent back home to Normandy.
Okay.
Yeah, where he lives for at least the next 4 years.
Now, so, and we don't know much after that when he goes back to Normandy.
So we do know that after he was sent back and after William the Conqueror died, the successor of William the Conqueror, William II, also known as Rufus, I'm not sure why they called him Rufus, but okay.
Okay.
They gave Thurston the opportunity to buy his position back at Glastonbury Abbey for £500, which, I mean, that was a very significant sum. But it seems interesting that he led this massacre and then at least four years later, they're like, you want to do it? Like, do you want to come back and have your position back for £500? It's not known.
That seems weird.
It does seem weird. I think that's a very odd thing to have happened. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
How many years later was that?
I mean, at least four, maybe 5 years later. So not that long after.
Not that long. And then do we know what happened in the Abbey, like, directly after it?
You know, I haven't looked into that. I'm not sure. I mean, I'm assuming, you know, some other abbot had to have come in.
Right.
But it would have been a Norman abbot.
Yeah, you wonder if they, like, shipped the monks out and started new?
You know, they could have. They could have, you know, spread them out throughout the countryside so there wasn't kind of that same uproar.
Right.
Yeah.
But then you risk spreading it throughout all the monasteries.
Yeah, it also makes you wonder how the knights actually felt about, you know, being made to do this. They probably didn't want to go and kill a bunch of holy men.
Yeah, well, it depends. I mean, mercenaries, I mean, you know, there's a certain faction, I think, that really doesn't care one way or the other. You know, you're paying me to do this, okay. You know, yeah. Especially back then.
Yeah, that's true. Know. Yeah. So it's not known whether Abbot Thurston took the deal to become Abbot of Glastonbury Abbey again. Nobody knows if he paid the £500.
That's a lot of money, though.
It is.
Back then, that's a lot of money.
Yeah. So it's not known whether he did it, but he did die far away from Glastonbury Abbey. So, odds are he probably didn't take the deal.
Right. Might not have had the money.
Yeah.
Interesting. Interesting. Bloodshed in the Abbey.
Bloodshed in the Abbey. Yeah. And it was big enough to be written down in two different chronicles.
Right.
So that wasn't necessarily just a regional situation. That was definitely a big deal.
Right. Well, it sounded like, you know, the king himself got involved at a certain point.
Yeah. You know? Probably two kings.
Right. You know, so. Interesting. I don't know. Something you don't, I mean, I'm sure, you know, with the Vikings raiding monasteries and stuff, but internally the own abbot, you got to wonder if there was other incidents like that, not related to the Battle of Hastings or anything, but just other things that came up in different abbeys over, you know, 1,000 years where.
Oh yeah, I'm sure.
Things went sideways.
Yeah, I'm sure. Well, and who knows what was happening for that 6 years before the massacre, you know?
Right, I mean.
Things could have gotten very, very tense. It could have gotten violent, who knows? Monks don't seem like the most violent of humans, but you never know.
No, there might have been some things that went on. I mean, and if it's anything like today, somehow money might have been involved, you know.
Yeah.
Especially when he said he could get his job back for 5,000 or £500, you know.
Yeah.
So, interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, thank you for listening to Medieval Murder. If you have any listener questions, comments, or topic suggestions, please feel free to reach out via our Instagram account, @medievalmurder, or via email at info.medievalmurder@gmail.com. Also, check out our merch available on our website, medievalmurder.org. We're also going to be making some changes in the upcoming year. Not sure what they're going to look like, but keep your eyes peeled for maybe some more book reviews, some more frequent podcast episodes, that kind of thing. So,
let's hope so.
Yeah, we hope so. So, tune in later for our next podcast.